Where exactly do you think you're going? You're abandoning me, your beloved, exquisitely plush couch. Look, these feet are handcrafted mahogany. Put their Heinekens back. Do you really want to go to that concert? Wouldn't it be infinitely better to stay here with me? Look, I have a perfect imprint of your posterior. Please, don't go!
Don't listen to your couch. Head to a concert with some friends and grab some ice-cold Heinekens. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a certainly busy day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So very happy to have you with us today. And, wow, we're going to have a lot of fun. A lot going on today, especially up on Capitol Hill, and we're going to get to all of that in just a little while. President Trump and Elon Musk are fighting like cats and dogs, which is no surprise there. I will say that we have a bit of breaking news as we start the show, where the Senate has passed President Trump's spending bill. Now, the reality of it is this, and we try to be as open and as honest as we can possibly be on this program. It's really problematic. There are a lot of problems here, but still, this is what Trump wants, and this is what the president ought to get. And if at the end of the day, it really does add $4 trillion to the debt, well, the Republicans are going to be held accountable for that. The other part of this, there are a lot of incredible, wonderful things that are a part of the one big, beautiful bill. And those things are great and should be celebrated. The reality is all of this should have been separated into individual bills because there's also a lot of bad stuff in here. But again, this is what the president wants, and this is what the president ought to get. It now goes back to the House of Representatives. And I will say that we did have a lot of issues with the House version. There were some great things that the House did to make that bill better. The Senate undid all of that. And so now it goes back to the House, and the House is going to have to decide, all right, are we going to be comfortable passing this legislation? So we're going to open up the phone lines here, and what do you want Congress to do? Should they pass this? Should they get this across the finish line, even if it adds $4 trillion to the deficit? Again, there are a lot of moving parts here. I want you to write down our telephone number. You're going to need this, 901-260-5926. Again, our number to call in, 901-260-5926. Now, one of the more pressing issues is, in fact, the Senate parliamentarian, and her name is Elizabeth McDonough. She is a flaming Democrat, and she is the Senate parliamentarian. She has been the Senate parliamentarian since 2012, and she was appointed to that position by the late Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And why she has not been fired or replaced is beyond me. But Majority Leader John Thune ought to be fired. He's the one that ought to be fired. But I want to step back for a moment and give him the opportunity to do the right thing here. So the majority leader is allowing the Senate parliamentarian to literally gut President Trump's one big, beautiful bill and take out a lot of the components that the America First movement loves. And most recently yesterday, the Senate parliamentarian came out and said, well, you're not going to be able to include the part of the legislation that would ban 1.4 million illegal aliens from getting Medicaid. And keep in mind, Medicaid is for law-abiding American citizens, not illegals. But now, according to the Senate parliamentarian, the illegals deserve to have Medicaid coverage, and therefore the Republicans cannot vote on that passage, that part of the BBB. Now, Senator Thune, who is the majority leader, has every right under the Constitution. He has a right under the rules of the Senate to either ignore the Senate parliamentarian or fire the Senate parliamentarian. And he has chosen to do neither. He has chosen to obey her. So if you are looking at chain of command in America right now, if you want to know who's at the top of the pecking order, we have the Senate parliamentarian, we've got the federal judiciary, and then we've got President Trump. Are you following this? I mean, honestly, President Trump could have saved a lot of money, and he could have just been appointed the Senate parliamentarian, and he could have been the most powerful person in Washington, D.C. But the reason why, and there's a reason for everything here, and look, John Thune knows that he can get rid of this woman. She could be gone by the end of this program, but he's not going to do it. And the reason why is that John Thune is a rhino. John Thune and his rhino pals, and there are a lot of them in the Senate. And I will say this, I truly believe the House of Representatives is far more conservative than the Senate Republicans right now. No doubt about that. But there's John Thune and Mitch McConnell and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, Tom Tillis, among others, who are opposed to the president's agenda. In some cases, they're afraid to actually come out and acknowledge that. Mitch McConnell, they're afraid to come out and acknowledge that. So what they're doing is they're using Elizabeth McDonough for cover. Let's just, for the sake of the conversation here, let's just say that all of these folks are at they're at a baseball game. And all of a sudden, somebody comes in and opens fire on the thing. There's a mass shooting. And people are running for cover. And there you have John Thune. And he's sitting next to Elizabeth McDonough. John Thune is the kind of a man who would put Elizabeth McDonough between him and the gunman. He's a coward, is what I'm trying to say. This is political cowardice, is what this is. The majority leader doesn't have the moral courage or the fortitude to stand up before the American people and say, you know what? We're just not going to support the president on this. I would at least have a modicum of respect for John Thune if he were to come out and say something like that. But he won't do that. Instead, he's cowering behind Elizabeth McDonough. And it seems to me that either she needs to go or he needs to go, and we need new leadership in the U.S. Senate, because this is not going to be the last time this is a problem. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on who needs to go here. Is it McDonough? Is it Thune? Or is it both of them? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. And just for the record here, the Senate bill passing, but Vice President J.D. Vance had to cast the tie-breaking vote. And we'll get you the rundown. All of this is happening as you and I are speaking right now on the radio together. Now, it all goes back to the House. It could still hit the president's desk by July 4th, but this is going to be problematic for a lot of folks in the House of Representatives, and especially the House Freedom Caucus, because now you have Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is threatening to start a third political party if this thing passes. Elon said yesterday, the day after this thing is signed into law, we immediately launch a new political party in America. Going to call it the America Party, by the way. That's what he's going to call it. The final vote, 51-50, with the vice president casting the tie vote. And we shall see how all this plays out. All right, so we're going to take a break here and regroup. Again, you've heard the breaking news. We're going to get your reaction to it. Oh, by the way, yes, people are asking about the no votes here. No votes, Susan Collins, Tom Tillis, and Rand Paul. Those are your no votes. All right, one more time, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. You know, Mike has a passion to help everybody get the best sleep of their life. And he didn't stop by creating the best pillow. He also created the best bed sheets ever. Mike is offering the best deal on his Percale bed sheets. You can get a set for as low as $24.98. The MyPillow Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. They look great. They feel great. And that means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 worth of merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $24.98. Order now or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So just moments ago, the Senate passing the BBB now officially goes back to the House of Representatives, and we'll keep you updated on what happens there. I had a chance to talk with Andy Biggs, the congressman from Arizona. That was last night on my Newsmax show, and I think he agreed with me. They want you to think this is a chicken salad sandwich, when in fact there's unfortunately chicken poop in there, and that is just the way this thing goes. So again, yes, we've got to pass it because this is what the president wants, but that doesn't mean it's glorious because there is a lot of bad stuff in here. Let's listen to the conversation with Andy Biggs.
Congressman, you're a straight shooter here. I got to tell you, I think the Senate, they're trying to tell us it's chicken salad, but it's smelling like chicken poop to me, sir.
I have to agree with you. I mean, let's just talk about some of the things that have changed. First of all, they didn't get rid of all of the Green New Deal subsidies. Now think of that, Todd. Every Republican ran, including the president of the United States, on eliminating Green New Deal stuff. But the Senate actually restored some of that. So that's a problem. Then you get into this notion of Planned Parenthood. So the House bill defunded Planned Parenthood's abortion and transgender services for the entire 10 years. But the parliamentarian decided, well, you know, you can only do that for a year. Now, Todd, if you can do it for a year, why can't you do it for 10? That doesn't even make sense, especially since you're saving money. So she did that. It's just a series of things like that that have happened with a parliamentarian that have been really, they kind of walked back the bill. And that's why you're looking at adding a massive amount of structural deficit so that in 10 years from now, instead of having a national debt of something like 37, you're probably going to have somewhere around $72 trillion in national debt.
Look, I mean, I get it, I think, but 1.4 million illegals going right back on Medicaid. Yeah. We can't even do that. We can't do that. And they expect you guys in the House Freedom Caucus to sign off on all of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting thing. I mean, again, that's a parliamentarian deal where we had taken out illegal aliens off of Medicaid. We also imposed work requirements. We also imposed lookbacks because we know that there's a lot of fraud. Some people have even estimated Arizona alone has as high as $6 billion a year in Medicaid fraud. I don't know if that seems awfully high to me, but the bottom line is we've got a parliamentarian appointed by Harry Reid that's unelected, that's in there basically ruining a bill that was pretty solid before. And when I say ruining, I mean, we still have some good stuff in there that we have to do. President, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, that's got to be done. We got to take care of that. You've got to take care of the border stuff. And then we have a few things dealing with the Department of Defense. But when you get to this other stuff and you say, a million and a half illegal aliens get to stay on Medicaid, let's remember what Medicaid is. Medicaid is state-funded, or in this instance, federally funded, for the most part, medical care. And a lot of these people are able-bodied. They could work, but they don't want to work. So they're illegally in the country. They're not working, and we're paying for their medical care. How does that work?
Congress, yeah, well, it's outrageous. It's just outrageous, Congressman. Elon Musk, by the way, not too happy. He's also calling out the House Freedom Caucus. He suggesting that he wants to know how the Freedom Caucus, if you vote for a debt slavery bill with the biggest debt ceiling increase in history, how can you do that? And he was tagging some of your colleagues here. What do you tell people like Elon Musk and all the rest of us out here?
Yeah, what I tell everybody is, I'm watching through Votorama. I watched what happened with the parliamentarian, and let's see how bad the bill comes out after you get through the Votorama, even, and then let's see if there's a way to rehabilitate this. I've expressed that to the speaker that we should rehabilitate this wherever we can, because it is important that you take care of the, like, you know, we've got some must do stuff in here. And this is the sausage making process that most people don't like to see, because it puts them off their appetite for legislation all the time. But the reality is, we've got to get something done, and it has to be done with regard to the tax cuts. But we also have to take care of some rational things that the president campaigned on, like the elimination of IRA and the, you know, not giving benefits to those who come into the country illegally. And how about this one? The SALT, the state and local tax guys, we're always blamed for being the holdup. But look at the SALT guys. I mean, in New York, they just elected a communist, and they want us, and they always have high taxes. They want the rest of America to subsidize that. Again, that's another one of those things where you go, how does that work? How does that work for everybody?
All right. These are all great questions. So, but again, this is where we are, and we will see if, in fact, the Republicans in the House will have the numbers. I think they're going to, but we shall see how this plays out. Speaker Johnson just moments ago announcing that this will get done, and he will deliver this on behalf of the House of Representatives. So there you go. By the way, President Trump indicates that he is open to deporting Elon. This was the answer to a question he was asked earlier today before the president went down to Alligator Alcatraz. He says we'll have to take a look. He says we might have to put Doge on Elon. You know what Doge is? Doge is the monster that might have to go back and eat Elon. Would that not be terrible? So they're fighting like cats and dogs now. This is crazy. So yesterday, Elon goes out there, and Elon says it's obvious with this insane spending bill, which increases the debt ceiling by a record $5 trillion, that we live in a one-party country, the Porky Pig Party. Oh, triple P, PPP. He says it's time for a new political party that actually cares about the people. And Elon says that he's going to start that party the day after the bill is signed, and he will call it the America Party. Ladies and gentlemen, are you supportive of this effort here? Does America need a third political party? Just seems to me, and I'm just just analyzing this as all this intel comes in, but it just seems to me that if, in fact, we do this, it is going to hurt the Republican Party. It will literally fracture the Republican Party, and the Democrats are going to start winning elections again. So right now, the Democrats are imploding. They are a complete mess. They're in utter shambles. They're literally having conversations right now about whether or not they should actually embrace the policies and the rhetoric coming from the mayoral candidate in New York City. My recommendation to them is absolutely embrace it. And all that to say, it's the Republicans to lose here, and we don't want them to lose. All right, we're going to be throwing out a trivia question, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Independence Day this week. Winners are going to get a signed copy of my new book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And here is the very first question. We want to know who ruled England when the colonies established independence. Who was on the throne in England when the colonies established independence? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-215-9803. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Who ruled England when the colonies established independence? This is the Todd Stern Show.
Flight by Yuengling. It's the next generation of light beer. For those who don't follow trends, but craft them. Flight by Yuengling is 12 ounces of uncompromised refreshment from America's oldest brewery. With only 2.6 grams of carbs and 95 calories, this is premium refreshment six generations in the making. Don't just raise a glass. Raise the bar. Flight by Yuengling. Available wherever beer is sold. DG Yuengling & Son Incorporated. Pottsville, Pennsylvania. Please enjoy responsibly.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Full lines. A lot of you folks wanting to win some swag today. Let's go. And by the way, do not hang up because you've got to get two. You have to answer two questions correctly to win the prize because it's my brand new bulky and we can't make it super easy. So hang tight. And if you don't get one of the you got to get two questions right here, folks. And if you don't get them right, well, we have to go to the next caller. So let's start our day in the beautiful Commonwealth of Maryland. Suzanne is listening to us. Suzanne, what part of Maryland?
I'm in Abingdon, north of Baltimore.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate you listening to us today. All right. Here is the first question, Suzanne. We want to know who ruled England when the colonies established independence. Who was that?
George III, a Hanoverian.
Yeah, that's wow. Yes, you're absolutely correct. It was George III. Now, here is your second question, Suzanne, your chance to win the prize. Can you tell us, this is going to be, I think this should be an easy one. Can you tell us which city hosted the first official Independence Day celebration on July 4th, 1777? The first city.
I'm going to say Philadelphia. Probably not right.
Yeah, Suzanne. Yeah, that was, you didn't even have to think, did you? You knew that one, Suzanne.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, congratulations.
I'm a history major.
Wow. All right. So you're the ringer on trivia night. Is that what you're saying, Suzanne?
Sometimes. Most of the time.
When it comes to the history questions, you want Suzanne on your team.
Absolutely.
All right. Suzanne, congratulations. You have just won a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings Devotions for Patriots.
I am so happy. And I'm even happier to be able to speak to you by phone.
Well,
it'll be in person.
Well, you never know, Suzanne, and we love Baltimore. It's a great area, and of course, our affiliate there, WCBN. They don't carry our show live, but we are working on that. And Suzanne, you can help us in that effort by calling up the radio station and say we want Starnes live.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
I do get to hear the recording from 10 to 1 a.m.
There are a lot of people in Baltimore that go to sleep with me. And we're very honored for that. Suzanne, congratulations.
Sleep with you.
Suzanne, I hope you have a happy Independence Day. Don't hang up. The lovely Miss Cassie is going to get your info. And we will get you a copy of the book right out there. Also, let's go to Kathy in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Kathy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Kathy, I'm doing well. We've already had someone answer our first trivia question, but we're doing a second one real quick, and we're going to try to win you a prize here if we can. All right. Okay. Kathy, we need to know, how many times does the Liberty Bell ring on Independence Day? How many times does the Liberty Bell ring on each Independence Day?
This is just strictly a guess, but I'll just say 13.
Yeah, that's actually a good guess because you are absolutely correct. 13 times for the 13 original colonies.
Oh, wow. I surprised myself.
All right. Well, now we're going to make it a little bit more tricky for the win. Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. You know they do that every July 4th, Kathy. Have you ever been out there to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest?
I've been to New York City, but I've never been to that boardwalk
okay.
thing they've got.
Well, here's the question. They've been doing this since 1972. Where does the competition take place in New York City? There is a place that it happens at.
Oy.
You mentioned the boardwalk.
It's on the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Kathy. Think.
Jersey Shore. I don't know.
No, not the Jersey Shore. Oh, Kathy, so close. So close. But good try. Kathy, we appreciate you calling in and hope you have a happy Independence Day. Oh, geez, Alou, that was a tough one. All right, so we've got another trivia question out there, and we'll get to that in just a little while. Can we talk for just a moment about Alligator Alcatraz? President Trump is out there, and the president flew down this morning. 8 days. 8 days, ladies and gentlemen. That's how long it took them to build Alligator Alcatraz. And I think this may be one of the most brilliant things that Florida came up with, is putting all of the illegals in the middle of the Everglades surrounded by poisonous snakes and alligators. So President Trump was asked about this just a little while ago, the president doing a lot of Q&A, and a lot of this is happening in real time, so our team is out there trying to gather this information. But the president earlier today, before he left, was asked about why Alligator Alcatraz, and someone asked the question, if an illegal escapes, do they just get eaten by the alligators? And the president said, yeah, that's kind of like the concept. That's the idea, is that, well, you know, he says the snakes are very fast, but he said the alligators, and again, talking about the graciousness and the kindness of our president, because the president is a man who exudes empathy. I mean, he's a tough on crime kind of a president, but he's also a compassionate man. So he offered some advice to the illegals. So if they try to escape from Alligator Alcatraz, and the president said that he's going to teach them how to run away from the alligator. That's what they're going to do. And he says he recommends don't run in a straight line. You got to run in a zigzag pattern because you'll be able to outrun the alligator. The alligator, I think their land speed, and someone can check me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe it's about 11 miles an hour. And the alligators, they may have that initial burst, but if you can pace them for about a quarter mile, you're going to be able to outrun the alligator because they can't run that far that fast. That's what the president was saying. And, but it is true, right? Let's take a listen.
Well, the alligator Alcatraz, yeah. It's the idea that it's going to be delivered and they just get eaten by an alligator or a snake.
I guess that's the concept. This is not a nice business. I guess that's the concept. If you know, snakes are fast, but alligators are, but we're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay? If they escape prison, how to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing.
Again, such a kind-hearted soul, this president of ours. But you know what the headlines are going to be? Trump calls for illegals to be eaten by gators. It's gator side. Well, you know what they ought to do is, and by the way, we don't have much intel on what exactly is going to happen at Alligator Alcatraz, but we understand that it is air conditioned, which is a great thing. I mean, this thing is really nice. I mean, it's really well done. It's got air conditioning. They're going to get good meals. You know, they're going to be well fed. My understanding is they will get beverages, something called Gatorade. And my understanding is they're even going to get free footwear, Crocs. Everybody's going to get a Croc at alligator Alcatraz. By the way, we actually have some reviews already coming in from alligator Alcatraz. This is really clever stuff. Yelp, you love Yelp. So here are now the reviews coming in. Nestled in a quiet sanctuary, this charming inn perfectly captures the quaint and cozy vibe you're seeking in a resort area brimming with wildlife and natural beauty. Alligator Alcatraz. However, some guests have mentioned minor drawbacks such as slightly dated decor and limited travel accommodations, but these are often overshadowed by the inn's charm and isolated location. Overall, Alligator Alcatraz offers a delightful blend of affordability, comfort, and access to wildlife-rich adventures, making it an excellent choice for a small, quaint stay on your way to other exotic destinations, like El Salvador. Its inconvenient location ensures a memorable stay for those looking to connect with nature while sacrificing modern comforts. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, some of the early reviews coming in from Alligator Alcatraz. We'll be reading more of those throughout the program. I think I want to book a stay there. No, you don't want to book a stay at Alligator Alcatraz. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So there is a new survey out, CNN, and they're staggered by this. They should not be surprised, but they are staggered. It turns out that President Trump is now the most beloved Republican president in modern history, and even surpassing Ronald Reagan. Cut number one, please.
It's history making. It's history making. What are we talking about here? So why don't we look back? We have all the presidents, Republican presidents, going back over the last 35, 36, 37 years. What are we talking about? GOP, who strongly approved 5 months in. Look at this. George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, 46%. Bush 43, 59. You see Trump the first term, 53. But look at this, 63%. He beats all the other Republicans on the board here. And I was looking even back since Reagan. And get this, Donald Trump beats Ronald Reagan when it comes to the strongly approved 5 months. And, of course, Reagan was coming off that high after that assassination attempt. So the bottom line is Donald Trump is making history with the Republican base. He is more beloved by this Republican base than any Republican base loved any GOP president 5 months in. It is history making.
I'm not surprised by this, but I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, who is your favorite president? Are you buying into the survey here that Donald Trump is the most beloved Republican president in modern political history? Has he surpassed Ronald Reagan for many of you? You know, Reagan was my guy. I was a kid. I was a teenager when Reagan got elected. Well, I was in junior high school. And I still love Ronald Reagan. I love Donald Trump, but Ronald Reagan is just really just an amazing man. And what he was able to do going all the way back to the 1950s and 60s, fighting communism in Hollywood, what a remarkable career. But then you look at Donald Trump and the amazing work that Trump has done. Trump has surpassed, I think, Reagan in the political accomplishments, because Trump has been able to go in there and he's been able to blow up the establishment like nobody's done before. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Who is your favorite president? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
New to the Tampa Bay area? Welcome home. Famous Tate Appliance and Bedding Centers has been serving this community since 1954 with the guaranteed lowest prices on top brands. With 11 convenient locations, fast free delivery, and product experts ready to help, finding the perfect kitchen, laundry, or sleep solution is easier than ever. Visit Famous Tate today because great deals and great service just come naturally here. Find a location near you at FamousTate.com.
You make us famous, Famous Tate.
Well, some sad news to report. Jimmy Swaggart died. Remember Jimmy Swaggart? Now, this was back in the 1980s and 90s when you had the televangelist wars. Anybody remember those days? It was Jim Baker and the PTL scandal. You had Oral Roberts, and there was a huge feud between Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker, and Oral Roberts. Of course, Jimmy Swaggart, based in Baton Rouge, and at the time, he was just, I mean, it was astounding the size of his ministry. I mean, just remarkable. Then it all sort of fell apart in the late 1980s. But Jimmy Swaggart, a pastor of the Family Worship Center, and of course headed up Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. And back in the early 1980s, Swaggart was literally filling football stadiums across the country. He raised more than $100 million a year for his ministry and had this massive radio and TV following. It was just really something else. And then the fighting erupted between Jim Baker and Oral Roberts. And while all that was going on, this is a fascinating story. Going back to, I think it was 1987, when Jim Baker's attorney, Norman Roy Grutman, predicted the downfall of Jimmy Swaggart and said, "You will bring down the pillars of the temple on your own head like Samson." And sure enough, within a year, Swaggart was caught on camera visiting a sidewalk Sally in a New Orleans, a seedy New Orleans motel. But over the years, if you remember Jimmy Swaggart, he had the big tearful apology that he did. And you know what? He came back from that, and he really, I think, reinvigorated himself and continued his ministry. He told the crowd, "I have sinned against you," and he was later caught after that and got sinned again. But he overcame all of that, and this was happening in the early, this is the late 80s, early 90s. But since then, Swaggart came back, not to the levels he was. I think revenue was about $11 million as opposed to $150 million a year. And the television audience collapsed, and he was defrocked by the Assemblies of God. But it's a fascinating story because he continued to preach the gospel, and the guy played the piano like nobody's business. And here's the interesting part about it. A lot of people don't realize this, but Jimmy Swaggart was actually related to a lot of very famous musicians back in the day, including Jerry Lee Lewis. So, and I believe there was one other, I'm trying to remember the other musician. But anyway, he came from a big musical family, played the piano like nobody's business, and really just had this amazing voice, Mickey Gillis. So he was cousins with Mickey Gillis and Jerry Lee Lewis. And if there's ever, and, you know, they used to pal around with Elvis back in the day. So all those guys sort of hung out together. And there have been a lot of movies, and you'll always see somebody playing a younger Jimmy Swaggart in those movies. But certainly some sad news there. Jimmy Swaggart, he was on up there in years, but he authored over 100 books and was going to be inducted into the Southern Gospel Music Hall of Fame. He was married to his wife, Frances, by the way, 72 years. So they had a very long lasting marriage, and she stood by him even after those two instances where he was certainly unfaithful to his wife. So there you have it, Jimmy Swaggart passing away, and he was 90 years old, lived a long life. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Coming up, more opportunities for you to win some cool prizes. We'll tell you all about that. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The Mercedes-Benz Dream Days are back with offers on vehicles like the 2025 E-Class, CLE Coupe, C-Class, and EQE Sedan. Hurry in now through July 31st. Visit your local authorized dealer or learn more at mbusa.com/dream.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsas, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. You know, I think the entire nation is on vacation. A lot of people are traveling. A lot happening, and of course, Independence Day coming up Friday, and we're going to have a great celebration. By the way, coming up a little bit later on this hour of the program, an opportunity for you to win some prizes. We're going to be doing some Independence Day trivia. Now, you got to get two questions right, and that's going to be the tricky part. We've already had one winner in the last hour. And we'll be doing we'll have another opportunity for you in just a little while. I have a question for you. Where are you getting your news and information? Where is that happening? You know, I remember back when I was a kid, and this was back in the 1970s, I remember we would get our news from one of three places, ABC, CBS, or NBC. There was PBS, but nobody watched that back then. Except for Sesame Street. But most people only got their news from those three networks. That's really all we had until Ted Turner came along and dropped the superstation on us. Anybody remember those days? TBS. WTBS, the superstation out of Atlanta. And then he launched CNN, which back in the day was actually pretty darn good. I think a lot of people, I remember as a kid graduating high school, I think all of us wanted to work at CNN because it was a great news operation back in the day. And then it went completely bonkers, crazy woke. But it originally started with a pretty darn good idea. But up until that point, most people were still getting their news from those traditional news sources. And then when you fast forward to the internet age, and now it's sort of anything goes. And there's a new study out, and it turns out that social media and video networks have become the main source of news in the United States, more so than traditional TV channels and even news websites. I mean, this is interesting. I can't begin to tell you the last time I actually read a newspaper from cover to cover. I mean, physically held a newspaper in my hands. You know, back in the day, one of the things I used to love, there was a store in our small town, and they got the New York Times, and I would always read the local paper, the New York Times and USA Today. And when I was in college, I remember you would see me walking around campus with huge stacks of newspapers because that's what you did back then. More than half of the people surveyed of Americans got news from networks like Facebook, X, and YouTube, overtaking TV. So we're talking 54% get their news from Facebook or YouTube or X. 50% of those surveyed got their news from a TV, and 48% got theirs from an app or a news website. Now, this is according to Reuters. They're saying the rise of social media and personality-based news is not unique to the United States, but changes seem to be happening faster and with more impact. They say Joe Rogan was the most widely seen personality with almost a quarter of the population saying they had come across news or commentary from him in the previous week. The report's author says the rise of social media and personality-driven news represents another significant challenge for traditional publishers. And I've certainly seen this, and you've seen it as well. Local TV stations, by the way, are getting gutted by this. And in many instances, you've got, I know here in the Memphis area, we've got at least one TV station, and a lot of their reporters are coming from some other city. So they're not even here in Memphis, and there's a pretty good chance that's happening in your community as well. I know that, for example, ToddStarnes.com, for example. ToddStarnes.com would be considered a personality-driven news website. But I want to stop there for a moment and explain that that is not necessarily a bad thing. Now, when you come onto my website, I think we do a terrific job covering breaking news when it happens and also diving into the culture news. We make sure that everything is accurate on our page. And if it's not, if we make a mistake, we put that at the very top of the story to alert you that, hey, there was an error here and we're sorry about it and we fixed it. So just so you know. And that's important for me because so many people out there are spreading fake news and they just don't care. They don't care. I'll give you two examples that happened just over the weekend. On X, there was viral video of some sort of an explosion. There was a van. It was one of those big, like, Amazon vans. And the story was it exploded just blocks away from the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., and there was video of it, and the smoke was, black smoke was bellowing. And all of a sudden, I knew just by looking at the video that the video was, that incident was nowhere near the Capitol. Well, it turns out that it was not an explosion, and it was not anywhere near the Capitol building. It wasn't even in Washington, D.C. It was in Arlington, Virginia. And it turned out that it wasn't an explosion. It was a fire. And they were already making the accusations, oh, it's a domestic terrorist attack or it's a terrorist attack. No, it was a fire. The van caught fire. But by that point, the truth really doesn't matter. Then you had the story over the weekend, this terrible tragedy over in Idaho, where you had the firefighters that were ambushed by this lunatic. And the initial reporting was 11 firefighters shot and killed. I mean, it was unbelievable, the amount. And by the way, and people are stealing video from other sources, pretending that they're there when in fact they're not. So anyway, we don't do that. We do not do that on our pages. And if we're using information, we tell people where we got that information, and then we link to that information. Just as an aside here. So again, personality journalism is fine as so long as you know you can trust the personality where you're getting your news and information from. That's all I'm trying to say. So anyway, this is all fascinating to me. The report also stated that the usage of X for news is stable or increasing across many markets, the biggest being the United States. And that's because a lot of conservatives have gone over to X because they believe they're going to be able to get fair and balanced news coverage. I'm curious where you're getting your news and information from. I mean, you've got Twitch, you've got Threads, you've got Blue Sky now. TikTok, by the way, is the fastest growing social and video network. And 17% of people around the world are now using TikTok for their basic news of the day. The use of AI chatbots to get the news is on the rise, twice as popular among under 25s than the population as a whole. So I'm curious where you get your news and information and why. Give us a call, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. But I can tell you just on our page, we get about 1.5 million viewers a month on ToddStarnes.com. But it's interesting because when you go to Facebook, for example, that's where we get our most engagement. 70-80 million people a month are engaging on my Facebook page. It's just unbelievable. And I wish we could respond to the comments, but I mean, our stories are getting hundreds, sometimes thousands of comments. And that's exciting because Facebook has lifted the throttle. On X, it really depends. I mean, we're knocking on the door of 300,000 followers. We have 407,000 followers on Facebook. So we've got a pretty good size audience out there. But our audience is engaged in all the information we're sharing. And by the way, if you go to our Facebook page, a lot of times we just put the information up there. We don't do the clickbait stuff. You're not gonna believe what Elon said now. No, we tell you what Elon said. And then we provide you a link, so if you want to read more, you can read more, or you can go on with your day. But it's that drives me nuts. Or my favorite one is like the top five places to get a good burger in America. And instead of having the story there, is you have to click on each single freaking page. I'm like, just give me the information. Why aggravate me? Just tell me where I can get the best burger in America, for crying out loud. I'm just saying. So there you have it. A fascinating story from Reuters. But it tells me that most people are not, and this is the bigger story, is that most people are not getting their news and information from traditional newspapers. And I will say this, in Memphis, that is very evident. And there is, you've got two competing newspapers, and they can barely stay in business. One of them's a nonprofit. They're begging for money every day. It's a little unbecoming, if you ask me, but that's just me. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Curious about your news sources. Where are you getting your news and your information? This is the Todd Stern Show.
Looking for a mortgage, credit card, or auto loan? Then you should know your FICO score. Did you know 90% of top lenders use FICO scores? Visit myfico.com/free today to get your FICO score for free. MyFICO makes it easy to understand your credit with FICO scores, credit reports, and alerts. Visit myfico.com/free. That's myfico.com/free. Or download the MyFICO app and discover the score lenders use most. That's myfico.com/free.
All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Great to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Linda. All right, Linda, what sort of news sources? Where do you go to get your news, Linda?
Well, hi, Todd. I think something you didn't mention was COVID. COVID changed where we get our news, I believe. And I go to Instagram, X, TikTok a little bit. But, I think COVID really in America changed where we got our news because we realized so fast we weren't getting real news. And, of course, I related to your ABC, CBS, NBC, and I'm from the Atlanta area, so I knew of Ted Turner, and all of that did change when he came along. So since COVID and Roku TVs, of course, we realized there's so many different news sources. And I think through COVID, being home, watching TV more, just through a large family and set of friends, people started sharing, hey, have you heard of Haystack? Have you heard of Centerpoint? Centerpoint's a great source of news. You get both sides, real news. And unfortunately, I think we all agree journalism in America is pretty shallow at this point.
Linda, I'm telling you, it's really bad. And I hate to say what I'm about to say, but even among some Christian schools that have journalism programs, those journalism professors are not churning out fair and balanced reporters. And from the state schools, I would be very hard pressed to hire anybody from a state school with a journalism degree.
Wow. I agree with you totally. Someone told me that Liberty and Caris Bible College has great resources. And, maybe these good schools that are teaching truth, perhaps we'll get some good journalists in our future, but you and I will be aging when that happens. It's just so sad that this generation of kids, and really the one before, and I'm mid-60s, so to watch what the kids are learning, matter of fact, I got news yesterday from a teacher that Cobb County Schools out of Atlanta, Georgia, which has some of the top high schools in the nation, has put back cursive writing in their school systems for 2026, which is actually huge news, you know? One thing in America that I have found to just be appalling was about 5 or 6 years ago, the schools, I guess to down dumb our kids, took cursive writing out of school. We all know from the past they've taken out, you know, driver's ed, workshop class, and, you know, just these classes that we grew up with that taught kids skills. And, you know, what's interesting is probably more in America than we've ever needed it. We need those now. And you know why? Because parents, both parents work, and these kids aren't taught these skills. And America is so full of, you know, these children that they don't know how to do anything. Their parents do everything for them. They still live at home in midlife. You know, they don't know how to mow a yard. The girls don't know how to cook or do anything because everything's done for them.
No, so, it's a great, I love this idea of cursive writing. I mean, here in Memphis, you know, our schools, set over 70% of our kids are not at reading level. The schools have failed. And, you know, that's a conversation for another day, Linda. But the reality is when the schools fail like that, it hurts society as a whole. And when the news industry fails, and the news industry has a very important role within the republic, they are the fourth estate, and they're supposed to be the watchdogs, and instead they become the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party.
Absolutely. And one other comment I would make is I have a niece that pulled her children out of a school system, and the reason she did is, and I think it goes back to the schools are hiring young kids out of college to teach. And when you put a 21-year-old, 23-year-old in a kindergarten, first grade, second, third grade class, these people are with your child all day. And they are the influencers, not the parents. And what they're teaching is shocking. And one little example is this niece had two daughters, 14 and 11. Both of their teachers, same day, sent them home. Their homework was to go watch this movie and give them a report overnight. And my niece went in the next day, told the principal, I'm removing my children from these schools. A, the content of this movie is shocking that you would want children, even a 14-year-old or 13-year-old, to watch. Second, there's nothing educational about this movie. It's got foul language. It's got sexual content. And what are you teaching our children, you know? So anyway, I guess this is, like you said, a subject for another day. But news, they're not getting news. The kids and this generation, everything is social media. We have to keep that in mind. And one other thing on news I would say. All right. Joel Rosenberg and Eric Stottleback give us real Israel news, which is great.
Right. No, they do. And Linda, I've got to run. The computer's going to cut us off here in about 30 seconds. But it's a great call, and you gave us some great information. And this is one of the things that we're trying to do on our pages as well, because I've recognized this. There is, and Linda is right, Liberty University is doing it the right way, but it can't just be one university. We've got to have others that are churning out good journalists, and we're hiring them. I mean, that's the issue, is that, you know, we have so much work to do, and we've got to do that over on ToddStearns.com. So I'd encourage you to go check out our website, also our social media feeds, and you're going to get fair and balanced journalism. Also, we launched a brand new Substack, toddstearns.substack.com. Go and check that out. Sign up. It's free, but we do encourage you to subscribe. There is a paid subscription. Hey, I got to run. Hang tight, everybody. We're going to get right back to the phones. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I mentioned as we were going to break that we had launched a Substack, and we're calling it the Stearns Morning Edition. And a lot of you folks were wanting the content that we provide on our website without all the advertising. Well, we need the advertising to pay our bills. So what we've done is we've created a Substack, and you can subscribe to it. It's, I think, $5 a month. I mean, it's not all that expensive at all. I know a lot of other folks charge a lot more, and we're not after that. But we need to be able to cover our bills. That's what we do here on this show. But we would love for you to go and get a paid subscription. Right now, you can still sign up for free. But soon, we're going to be limiting the amount of content to our paid subscribers. And we're very thankful for the folks that have already subscribed. So if you go to toddstearns.substack.com, that's toddstearns.substack.com, you will be able to subscribe there. And Linda's a helping hand. Again, if you want to get more than $5, we welcome that. But again, we've got to be able to pay our writers and our staff and our team here. So head over again to toddstearns.substack.com and you'll be able to check out the content. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. John in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the possibility of a third party.
Yeah.
I've been wanting that for years. Everybody says, oh, it can't be done. Well, if that can't, die in the poorhouse. I think if somebody started a third party like the American Party and had the right platform, and if President Trump would change parties and come in there, you would have most all the mega with the right platform and President Trump and others like him, you would have the thing to kick it off and bring about success to it, I believe.
John, the argument is that it would divide the Republican Party and therefore it would hurt the Republicans.
Well, I don't think so. If you replaced a lot of them with conservative people, what we have in the Republican Party, except for a handful, we have gutless, cowardly, asleep Republicans that are on the take.
I don't think you're wrong. It's
to change courses. You can't keep going with what we have now. But that's my opinion. I would be on board for it 100%. With the right platform, if you got President Trump in there, I think it would go over good. That's what I think.
Here's the most recent election in memory that this happened. And it was Ross Perot. And if you remember, this was back in 1992, right, where you had Ross Perot mounting probably the most successful third-party bid in American history, or at least in modern American history. And in that particular race, and Perot, the reason why Perot jumped in is because of what George H.W. You remember this, John, right? George H.W. said, read my lips, no new taxes. And what did he do, John? Tell our Gen Z listeners what he did.
He raised taxes.
Sorry.
I'll be 76 next month, so.
So you're an old-timer, John. You remember back in those days.
Oh, yeah. But now here's the thing about it. If we had another party, like the American Party, with the right platform, the first thing I'd have in that platform to get everybody's attention is term limits. I think 80% of the voters are fed up in independents and Democrats. I think we're all looking for something different than what we have up there. I think it'd be a good idea. That's my opinion.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking to, I was listening to somebody talking about this just a few days ago when it comes to term limits, and they said the challenge would be what just happened with Tom Tillis, who is basically term limited. He's announcing he's retiring from Congress. Then if they are term limited, they could actually go in there. And even if they're like, say, a fake Republican, they could cause a lot of harm knowing that they're going to be term limited out. So they're going to cause as much damage or destruction as possible. I think that would be, I don't know, that's sort of a shaded view of things. But I understand why term limits would not necessarily be a bad thing. Our founding fathers, John, never intended for lawmakers to become full-time politicians.
No, absolutely not. They weren't, and it's not good. It just gives them time to get corrupt and get on the take from big corporations and all.
John, but, yeah.
Oh, yes. No, go ahead.
No, John, no, it's a good call, and I think you make some really valid points, and I appreciate you calling in today. I want to circle back, though, to the 92 election. And again, this was a third party, Ross Perot. If Ross Perot would have stayed in the race for the duration and had not gone squirrely on us, if he would have picked somebody other than James Stockdale, what am I doing here? Why am I here? If they had picked somebody other than Stockdale, then I think Ross Perot actually could have won that election. I mean, that's how crazy it was. But Perot got 18.9% of the vote. This was really an historic election in the sense that Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, was elected without a majority, without a mandate. He only got 43% of the vote. If Ross Perot would have dropped out or would not have been in the race at all, H.W. actually would have won re-election. He would have gotten a second term in office and there would not have been a Bill Clinton. So, again, I hear you folks out there wanting a third party and suggesting a third party is what we need, but the proof here is what happened back in 92. It could actually backfire, and you could end up getting a really bad Democrat, and that's exactly what happened in 1992 with Bill Clinton. 901-260-5926, our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. By the way, apparently, they're having, within the world of illegal immigration in America, apparently we have got a cannibalism problem. Here is Kristi Noem explaining this. Apparently somebody had the munchies.
President Trump is upholding freedom by what he is doing. The freedom to live safely in this country and to do things legally and to have justice. And because those liberals, and I'm calling out you, CNN, I'm calling you out because you lie every single day about what these operations are. We are going after murderers and rapists and traffickers and drug dealers and getting them off the streets and getting them out of this country because Joe Biden let the worst of the worst come in here. The other day I was talking to some marshals that have been partnering with ICE. They said that they had detained a cannibal and put him on a plane to take him home. And while they had him in his seat, he started to eat himself. And they had to get him off and get him medical attention. These are the kind of deranged individuals that are on our streets in America that we're trying to target and get out of our country because they are so deranged they don't belong here.
Okay, I'm kind of creeped out here, but I'm a little curious. I mean, what exactly was the guy eating? Do we, again, you cannot drop that sort of a news nugget, and there's got to be a reporter in there. And again, this goes back to having lousy reporters who were not trained in journalism school. Because had I been there as a part of the White House pool, I would have raised my hand and I said, all right, what part of the body was the guy eating? What was he munching on? We talking about finger food here? What are we talking about? I'm just saying. By the way, President Trump down in Florida for the opening of the alligator Alcatraz. And ladies and gentlemen, it's really remarkable. 8 days and they've got a fully functioning and it is beautiful facility down there. We understand the Everglades is fully stocked with all sorts of poisonous spiders, snakes, and lots of alligators. And the Google reviews are just really spectacular. All right, we're going to be reading some of these. And by the way, so far, 5-star reviews for the alligator Alcatraz. Here's what one reviewer just wrote. Best resort in the area. Your ICE agent will make your reservation for you, so you don't have to worry about calling ahead. ICE will also provide free transportation to the resort, as well as a one-way flight out of the United States. Beautiful sanctuary filled with many chances for up-close wildlife encounters. Very welcoming with a homey feel, even if you come from a very dry country. Immediately swamped with attention from a very friendly local government if you require assistance returning to the country of your origin. I would give it 10 stars if I could. This location provides convenient and easy access to the airstrip, a free betting experience with 3 squares and a wonderfully attentive staff. beautiful close-up views of nature while on your way home. And that, ladies and gentlemen, just some of the reviews from the Alligator Alcatraz Resort. I feel like I'm on a travel show right now. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Say what you will about Donald Trump, this is a, by golly, very entertaining presidency. I'm telling you, I hope you're having fun. All right, we've got another trivia question we're going to be throwing out here, a chance for you to win. Now, keep in mind, you got to get this question right, and then we're throwing out another question so you can't Google it right away. All right, here we go. We need to know which three U.S. presidents died on the 4th of July. You know what? We're going to make this easy. Two. Which two U.S. presidents died on the 4th of July? Two U.S. presidents that died on the 4th of July. If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Oh, also, we have another trivia question still hanging out there, talking about Nathan's hot dog eating contest. We need to know, where does that competition take place? It is at a specific location, and we need to know that location, the annual Nathan's hot dog eating contest. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926 if you know where the Nathan's hot dog eating contest happens. Well, folks, we are so excited to welcome to our family of supporters and sponsors the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC. They are the conservative alternative to the AARP, and they are fighting every single day to promote the principles that make this nation great. And here's the best part about all of this, folks. AMAC is not just for seniors. Whether you are 18 years old or 80 years old, AMAC is for any American who loves this country and wants to see it protected for generations to come. So if you're a grandma or a grandpa and you've got an 18-year-old or 19-year-old grandchild, you know what? Sign them up for AMAC. They're going to get all sorts of exclusive discounts. They're going to get an outstanding magazine filled with great stories. They're going to get helpful resources. And most importantly, you are going to be a part of a growing patriotic community that just refuses to back down. So do your part and go to amac.us/Starnes right now and join the fight to keep America strong. That's amac.us/Starnes. All right, well, let's go to the phone lines. A lot of people lighting up the phones today. Edward on the line. Hi, Edward. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Edward, I'm doing well. Thank you. So here is your first question. And if you get the second one right, you're going to be winning a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings Devotions for Patriots. But we need to know, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, it's happened every year on the 4th of July since 1972. Where does that competition take place?
I think it's Coney Island.
Yeah, you are correct. It is indeed Coney Island, right there at the original Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Stand. And by the way, if you're ever in New York City, it's worth the train ride out to go and grab a hot dog at Nathan's. Here is the next question, Edward, and we need to know the answer and you will win a prize. We need to know the two U.S. presidents who died on the 4th of July. There were two of them, and they died within hours of each other. Can you name those two presidents?
I don't have a clue on that one, I'll be honest.
Take a guess. Just you got to take a gander.
Gosh. I mean, I don't know. There's so many presidents. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know it wasn't JFK. I know it probably wasn't Abe Lincoln. I just don't know. I have no clue.
No. Oh, good. Well, It wasn't a good try, Edward, but you gave it a shot. So, look, we appreciate you calling in, and a good answer on Nathan's, and we'll have some more opportunities for you to win a copy of that book in the next hour. Oh, I didn't realize this was a tough question. I believe it or not, out of all the trivia questions we've got, that was the one that I knew right away. All right, here is another trivia question we're going to throw out there. And this is, again, I think these are easy, but it may be very, these may be difficult. We need to know, let's see here. Here we go. This is a good one. What is the largest 4th of July fireworks display in the United States? And which department store sponsors it? So you've got to get the largest 4th of July fireworks display in the United States. You got to tell us the city and the department store that sponsors the fireworks display. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, there is a very interesting story about patriotism. Gallup just conducted a poll, and this was right before we blew up Iran's nuclear program. And according to Gallup, 58%, only 58% of Americans said they were proud to be an American. This is a new record low. The Democrats mostly responsible for the drop in U.S. pride. Why am I not surprised? 36% say they are extremely proud or very proud. That's down from 62%. Republicans, on the other hand, have never been prouder of America. Are you ready for this? 92% of Republicans say they are proud to be an American. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Are you proud to be an American? Well, let's go back to the phones. Let's say hello to Richard in Ocala, Florida. Hi, Richard. How are you today?
Doing good, thank you. Todd, how are you doing?
Richard, I'm doing well, and I'm excited. Independence Day, my favorite holiday, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to try to win you a prize, though, here. We need to know there were three U.S. presidents who died on the 4th. Can you tell us two of those presidents?
I know one was John Adams, and it was 50 years to the day after the signing of the Declaration, and it was John Adams, and I was thinking the other might have been Jefferson, but I'm not positive. But I know one with John Adams.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the third, James Monroe, who died on July 4th, 1831. So two great presidents. And what does it say? Just a coincidence? I don't think so, Richard.
Mr. Todd, I'm so glad you said that. I have thought for years that was God putting his smile of approval again upon us. Those was two of the main ones, and they lived for another 50 years after they signed that.
Yep.
And they both passed away on the same day within hours of each other.
Richard, Richard, I want you to hang tight, my friend. And those of you on the hold, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get right to your questions as well. Richard, hang tight. We're going to hook you up with a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stern Radio Show. Sorry about that. I nearly dropped my headphones. Wow. It is, you know, I think everybody that I know is on vacation today in some exotic locale like Branson or Dollywood. A lot of people down in the Redneck Riviera enjoying the beautiful crystal clear blue waters and sugary sands of the Gulf of America. How's that for a Chamber of Commerce ad? But we sure are glad that you're hanging out with us no matter where you may be across the fruited plain. By the way, tonight, 5:00 Eastern on Newsmax, we have a great lineup for you. Congressman David Kostoff is going to be joining us among many others, including a left versus right panel. And people are really enjoying, you know, on our show, let me just say this about my Newsmax show for a moment. We actually love debate on that program, and I gave out orders to the team. You know, I don't want to have these panels where everybody agrees. I mean, that's sort of boring, right? So I would rather take on, you know, two Democrats so we can have a big debate about the issues of the day. But anyway, we're going to have a great left versus right panel and a lot of great conversations coming up tonight, 5 o'clock. Speaking of Newsmax, they just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, and I'm telling you, Newsmax, now one of the top news brands in America, fourth highest rated news channel just behind CNN, 40 million Americans now watching Newsmax, and you should too. And this is why you need to download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV. You can start watching right now. President Trump says Newsmax is terrific. Get the free Newsmax app. Also, check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, I want to go to the phone lines. We had a trivia question, and I wasn't paying attention to the clock, and I appreciate all of these great folks holding on. Let's go to Virginia. Isabella is on the line. Hi, Isabella. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Wonderful. Now, what part of Virginia are you calling us from?
Well, we're from Stafford, Virginia. My grandson Aiden and I.
Hi.
Well, hello there. So you have an audience with you.
Yes, we're actually road tripping. We're coming home from Tennessee back to Virginia.
Well, I hope you had a good time in the volunteer. Are you on Interstate 40 by any chance? I'm trying to think where you are in Tennessee. Have you been by Dollywood or Pigeon Forge?
Oh, we've passed that area, yes.
All right,
we've already crossed into the Virginia state line.
Okay, very nice. Well, I've traveled that road quite a bit, and it's a beautiful area. You know, they have a couple of Buc-ee's up in that neck of the woods, Isabella.
Oh, yes, we've stopped at a couple. Love Buc-ee's.
You do. What do you like about Buc-ee? Who am I talking to, by the way?
This is Aiden.
Aiden.
Yes, sir.
How old are you, Aiden?
I'm 9, sir.
9 years old. Wow, good for you. So, Aiden, are you having a good road trip? Have you had a good vacation?
Yes, sir. I'm reading lots of books.
You are? What are you reading? Do you mind if I ask? What are you reading?
No, sir, not at all. So, right now, I'm reading The Unsolved Mysteries of American History.
I love this. Are you learning a lot?
Yes.
Wow.
Right now, the chapter I'm reading is Who Was to Blame for Pearl Harbor?
Is that right? And what does your book tell you?
Well, it basically just tells you what scientists think, historians think, and basically what happened at the time.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you're a pretty bright young man, Isabella. I don't know what you guys are doing, but what a great person there. What a great fella.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you're very welcome. Very polite, too. Oh, by the way, I forgot why you were calling in, Isabella. You've got a trivia question to answer. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So,
you were asking if...
Well, let me get the question, and then we've got one more question, and if you get that one right, and I think Aiden might even know the answer to this one, but we'll start with this one. We want to know about the nation's largest 4th of July fireworks display. It is in a specific city, and it has, for many, many years, has been sponsored by a department store. Can you answer the question?
Yes, New York City and Macy's.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And Isabella, it is one of the most, I lived in New York City for 15 years, and I'm telling you, it's one of the most spectacular fireworks displays out there. And it sort of pales in comparison to what we used to do as kids, which was, you know, get out the bottle rockets. But they put on a pretty darn good show up there.
And the most spectacular, and I am from New York originally, the most spectacular was the Bicentennial.
Yes. Yes, it was. You're right about that. All right. We've got one more trivia question. I think you're going to be able to get this one. There was there was a famous line delivered by Patrick Henry at the Second Virginia Convention. And I think just about everybody learned this in grade school. Patrick Henry, what did he say? What was that famous line?
Oh, no. Do you know it, Sunnyfoot?
I'm thinking.
How about if I give you a clue? Give me...
Yes, sir.
Give
liberty or give me death?
Yes, give me liberty or give me death. Aiden, you got to shout it out there from the car. Shout it out, Aiden. Give me liberty.
Give me liberty or give me death.
I like that. All right. Well done. Well done, Aiden. Guess what? You guys just won a signed copy of my brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And Aiden, I think you're going to love reading this little book. And Isabella, God bless you as you guys are on your vacation. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, he will read that as soon as he gets it.
All right. Well, hang tight. Don't hang up. And we're going to put you on. And by the way, where do you guys listen? Do you guys listen on the app or do you have a local radio station to listen to?
We're on a local radio station here.
Wonderful. Yes. Well, we're so excited. And if we don't, if the show's not carried in your town, you can always listen to us on the app over at toddstearns.com. Isabella, thank you. Aiden, safe travels. Well, how about that? Wow, that kid was raised right. 9 years old. Very well. And gosh, that's pretty impressive. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, I want to go to Lee calling us from Memphis. Lee, what's on your mind? Can you? That's a pretty impressive 9 year old.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah. Hey, Lee.
Well, you know, you were talking earlier about your news sources. You're like number two, but who I get my main one from, because there's a lot of information in this magazine. You might want to pick one up. It's called High Times.
High Times.
Yeah, get a lot of good info in there.
All right, tell me about High Times. What kind of information, Lee, is in High Times?
You can, you know, since I do a little extra work on the corners on occasion, it gives me a good quality information on what good stuff, you know, I can make money out of.
I see. So are you in the weed business there, Lee?
Yeah, it's kind of the green leafy substance.
Are you partaking of the, I'm just wondering, are you partaking of the product? I mean, I have to imagine that might cut into your profits.
Yeah, I can't sample too much or I won't make the big buck.
No. But
yeah, they do have some news stories and they're kind of like the Playboy magazines do.
Of course
so
they
do. You get some good info in there.
Lee, thank you for calling in. We appreciate that. Lee, why do I get the impression that Lee is calling us from like Cheech and Chong's van? Why do I get that impression? We went from two great extremes in that segment with phone calls, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to take a quick break and reset. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Jeez, Lou. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Ogles, the congressman out of the Nashville area, says that he does not work for the Senate parliamentarian. He works for the people. He has just filed an amendment to delete their dud, talking about the Senate bill, and replace it with the strong House bill that they passed several weeks back. He said the Senate's version of the big, beautiful bill guts key Trump provisions, and all at the behest of the unelected parliamentarian, who is a Democrat. So there we go. Them's fighting words, as they say. Also, over at CNN, they just had some gal on, and she, you know what, we're going to try to get this audio for you, and she's out there saying that the real victims here are the alligators. And you can't make this up. Dylan, I'm sending this to you, and just give me a holler when we get it. But the woman, she, when you hear her talk, she looks, she's one of these weird things where you look exactly how you sound. And she is she's out there saying that the big problem here is that Trump is putting the lives of alligators in danger. She also said that alligators are not dangerous. Are you buying that, ladies and gentlemen? So I remember one of my favorite videos I saw on X or Facebook or Instagram or wherever. There's some Florida guy, and it's always a Florida guy. There was a Florida guy, and there was an alligator, and he lived in this house. And the house was, you had the little backyard, and then there was like a lagoon behind the backyard. So there was like this little alligator, this baby gator, and the alligator had taken this guy's little, I don't know what kind of a dog it was. It was one of these metrosexual purse dogs, you know, like the Shih Tzus or whatever. And so the alligator was hungry, wanted a little snack. And instead of going and getting a Hot Pocket, it went and got this little metrosexual purse dog. Well, the owner of the dog comes running out in his, like, wife beater T-shirt and got the boxer shorts on. And he's got, like, a cigar or a cigarette in his mouth. And he's running into the lagoon, and he's wrestling the alligator for the dog. And the dog survived. And that's just the way they do things. Anyway, here's this wildlife expert, and she's got the bangs. I'll tell you, she's got the bangs going. Let's listen.
How much of a threat does this volatile environment pose to the detainees, and several thousand are going to be moved there, especially when considering this will be a tent city exposed to storms and potentially even hurricanes?
I think the storms are a real concern, but I'll say this. When it comes to the wildlife, I'm more concerned for the wildlife than the folks on the site. I've actually waded in the wetlands not far from that site myself, waist deep in the water, no problem, wasn't attacked by alligators. You know, the idea that these are vicious animals out to attack people is rather absurd, and I think it detracts from the important message, which is that this doesn't belong here. Floridians don't want it here, and it's wasteful and an incredible risk to our ecological resources.
So, you know, it's interesting that Wolf Blitzer would ask this question. Not that there are, you know, millions of people living in Florida who are also in the path of hurricanes and storms, but they're always looking out for the south of the border gangbangers, always looking out for their well-being. I am still trying to come to terms with the fact that Kristi Noem, our Homeland Security Secretary, just announced that apparently we were deporting a cannibal who was trying to eat himself on the airplane. I wonder if he was flying on American. And I ask that because even in first class, they only give you like a little tiny packet of these tiny little pretzels and like three pretzels in there. So maybe the guy was just hungry, started nibbling on, I don't know, an appendage. I'm just saying, I don't know. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Time now for another 4th of July trivia question. This is also the time that we celebrate our defeat, our crushing defeat of the British. We need to know what nickname was used for the British soldiers during the Revolution. The nickname used for British soldiers during the Revolution. If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And you will win a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And by the way, if you haven't already done so, you need to go and order yourself a copy of this book. We are working very hard. We were already the number one devotion in America. Now we need to be the number one book in America, and only you can do that by getting out there and ordering a copy of our latest book. All right, I want to play some audio. This, again, is from, let's see here. Okay, here we go. This is CNN talking about President Trump being the most loved president, Republican president in history. Cut number one.
It's history making. It's history making. What are we talking about here? So why don't we look back? We have all the presidents, Republican presidents, going back over the last 35, 36, 37 years. What are we talking about? GOP who strongly approved 5 months in. Look at this. George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, 46%. Bush 43, 59. You see Trump the first term, 53. But look at this, 63%. He beats all the other Republicans on the board here. And I was looking even back since Reagan. And get this, Donald Trump beats Ronald Reagan when it comes to the strongly approved 5 months. And of course, Reagan was coming off that high after that assassination attempt. So the bottom line is Donald Trump is making history with the Republican base. He is more beloved by this Republican base than any Republican base loved any GOP president 5 months in. It is history making.
Well, it really is history making. And again, when you look at what this president has done, and his overall approval ratings, not just with Republicans, but with independents and Democrats, this is a beloved man. And he is going to go down in history as truly one of our greatest presidents. There is a big movement afoot to actually make President Trump the last face on Mount Rushmore. And there is room there to do it. As a matter of fact, Lee Greenwood sent me a sculpture in the mail a couple of weeks ago showing what Mount Rushmore would look like with Donald Trump's face on it. We've posted that on the Instagram page. You got to go check that out because it looks really, really good. So we'll see. But I'm telling you, Trump is an incredible president, and I think he does deserve to be on Mount Rushmore. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Jimmy in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Jimmy, how's it going today, sir?
Pretty good, sir. How are you?
Jimmy, I'm doing well, and you have lucked out because we only have time for your answer here, but can you tell us the nickname that the British troops had during the Revolutionary War?
I want to say the Redcoat.
And, Jimmy, that music means you are, in fact, correct. Congratulations, Jimmy. And we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to send you a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. How does that sound, Jimmy? I think Jimmy's on hold already.
Great.
Oh, well, good, good. All right, Jimmy, thanks for listening to the Todd Stern Show. Thanks for listening to Patriot Talk 920. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Let's go to the phone lines. Greg is in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM today. Hi, Greg, what's going on?
Hey, really enjoy your show. Yeah,
thank you.
I live right down from the station, yeah.
Well, it's a nice neighborhood, and appreciate you calling in. What's on your mind today, Greg?
I was going to try to answer the question.
Well, we already had somebody that answered the question, Greg, but we'll throw out another trivia. But I understand you had a story. You're from Lexington, is that right?
I grew up as a child there, so I was going to be embarrassed if I missed the answer. Yeah, I grew up a mile down from the green, and April 19th was Patriots Day. We don't do that down here. And it was a great history lesson growing up there, a child.
Greg, is it true that isn't that when the Boston Marathon is on as well, Patriots Day?
I believe it is, April 19th.
Well, I'll be darned. So they used to call them Redcoats, but you said there's another name they used to call them as well.
Yeah, I believe they called them lobster bags.
Is that right?
I remember that.
Fascinating.
I remember that.
Well, it must have been so amazing to grow up in an area of the country where there's just so much history and legacy.
It was. It really was. Of course, there's different history down here, but I enjoy both of them.
We're still living in a war zone, so they haven't stopped shooting down here. Greg, I tell you what I'm going to do. I do want to hook you up with a copy of my book, Star Spangled Blessings, and you can swing by and get it. Hang tight, and Miss Cassie will get you information, and we certainly appreciate you. You calling in today. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Andy in Jackson, Tennessee. Hi, Andy. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. I'm doing great.
Well, fantastic. What's happening in Jackson, Tennessee these days?
Sorry, my man. What did you
say? Well, I think we've got a bad phone connection there. But we'll get Andy on hold. Folks, we have not had the opportunity to talk about the big speech I delivered over the weekend in Washington, D.C. I was invited to speak at the Road to the Majority Conference, and it was just an amazing to speak to so many of our great friends, listeners from all over the nation, several thousand folks gathered for the conference, and I wanted to play some of my remarks. Let's take a listen.
Well, hello, Road to the Majority. How are you guys doing this morning? Well, I want to say greetings from Newsmax TV, and we are so excited to be able to cover this great conference. We had Ralph Reed on my show last night on Newsmax, and I hope you watch us at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. But we're really excited to be able to cover the great work that you guys are doing here, not just here in Washington, but really all across our great nation. You know, I've been doing a lot of traveling. I have a brand new book out, and we'll be signing copies in the exhibit hall after this session. And I've been traveling all over the country. Anybody from North Carolina here by any chance? Okay, pretty much the entire state. You know, it's very interesting about your state. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. That's where I make my home. We smoke pork butts there, and Elvis lived there once. But North Carolina, you guys are pretty amazing. I noticed a couple of things about your state. You've got something called a Biscuitville. That's pretty cool. You actually are home to the original Mayberry. That's really awesome. And even got to drive around in Barney Fife's squad car in Mayberry. And then there's something that you guys drink over there, a beverage, something, it's an elixir called cheer wine. I'm a Baptist. I don't drink that much cheer wine, but I took a sip and started speaking in tongues. So it was pretty tasty. But I was on my way to Liberty University the other day, and I was trying to figure out, what do I want to share? What message do I want to convey to the great folks at the Faith and Freedom Coalition? And I was really having some problems. I was developing a case of writer's block. And then all of a sudden, in the distance, I saw a great sign. It was a giant yellow orb. And as I got closer and closer, I realized the orb was not the sun, because there was a critter with buck teeth in that yellow orb. And as I got closer, I realized it was a Buc-ee's, God's gas station. And it was there that I found my inspiration, watching the young people hard at work and eating the delicious brisket. And if you read the small print on your gas receipt, I am now obligated to say they have clean bathrooms. So that's an important thing that you have to do there. But you know what I saw? I saw a little glimpse of America in that Buc-ee's. I saw young people that were taking on their first job, working as hard as they could with a smile on their face. I saw church youth groups pulling in for taking a break from their summer mission trips. I saw greatness in America, and pretty darn good brisket, too. But you know what? I realized as I was walking around and just seeing people wearing patriotic shirts and really just having a great time, I didn't see a single frown in that Buc-ee's. And I realized, wow, it really is a new day in America. And what a great day in America. Because our president, Donald J. Trump, promised to make America great again, and he has delivered on that promise. Oh, it's a new day in America, my friends. No more killing babies on the taxpayer dime. It is a new day in America. No more FBI raids on the homes of pro-lifers. It is a new day in America. No more government spying on evangelical Christians or Roman Catholics in their church houses. It is a new day in America. No more big hairy men prancing around in the girls' locker rooms. It is a new day in America. And it is a new day on the international stage as well. Now, the last president, when he met with world leaders, would just wander off into the wilderness. Joe, Joe, Joe. Everybody knew what was going on, even the French, they knew. They knew that Joe's cheese had done slid off his cracker. Now compare that with President Trump arriving on the scene at the NATO summit at The Hague this week. Did you see that? Did you ever imagine that world leaders, the head of NATO, would call our great president daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy, France? Who's your daddy, Switzerland? Who's your daddy, Democrats? Now, this is somewhat a religious gathering. We got to keep it family friendly. Now, that doesn't mean that we still have some problems, right? We've got to push the Senate to pass the BBB, the big, beautiful bill. And we also need to encourage our majority leader, John Thune, to fire that Senate parliamentarian who was hired by the late Harry Reid. Now, I've got a simple solution because the senators are all working right now up on Capitol Hill. And here's what I want to recommend. We gather them all in a room together and tell them they have it half an hour to get this all sorted out. Otherwise, Daddy is coming to Capitol Hill. You know, I love this nation. My new book is called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We wrote a book to celebrate the greatness of America. We wrote a book to share stories that the entire family can enjoy together around the breakfast table or after supper to explore why God has blessed this great nation. Ronald Reagan gave a speech once and he said, you know, freedom is just one generation away from extinction. We all know that speech. But he also delivered another speech, not so familiar. He said that it's an interesting thing about our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. It doesn't have a declaration. It's just a series of questions set to music. Is the flag still there? Can you still see the flag? That's a question that every generation of Americans must answer. You know, I love what President Trump said about America. And I wrote this in the book. He said that if we really want to make America great again, if we really want to make our nation great, he said that America has to pray again and that Americans have to read their Bibles again. You see, I believe that President Trump knows what Ronald Reagan and Dwight D. Eisenhower and many of our other Christian leaders believed, that really what's happening in America is not about politics. We are dealing with spiritual warfare. You see, we as believers are not called to be Republicans or Democrats. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. I close my book in Star-Spangled Blessings with a story, a beautiful story about Ronald Reagan sharing the gospel message. He was literally witnessing to someone in the Oval Office. And in spite of all of the things happening in the world at the time, President Reagan understood that the most important issue for that day, the most important mission, was to rescue one soul. And that's exactly what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to make America great again. I want you to know that I deeply appreciate all of you. It's been such a blessing to get to know you. I'd love for you, even if you don't buy a book, come by and say hello, and I'd love to be able to shake your hands. Thank you for watching Newsmax, and I want you to know something, brothers and sisters. You've got an evangelical Christian friend at Newsmax TV. God bless you all. God bless you very much. Thank you.
All right. There you have it. My remarks there at the Road to the Majority Conference in Washington, D.C. Coming up in August, I'll be delivering the keynote address at the Gun Owners of America Conference in Knoxville. That's going to be a lot of fun, and hope to see a lot of you great gun owners there joining us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, President Trump just released a message about the BBB for the members of the House of Representatives. There's already been a lot of blowback. A lot of House members are upset because the Senate pretty much gutted all of their provisions. And now President Trump is saying even though that has happened, he still wants them to proceed and pass it as is. My question to you, ladies and gentlemen, what do you recommend Congress does here? Do they pass it as is or do they push back? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, Chip Roy is spitting nails right now. He is not happy at all. Congressman Roy from Texas sounding off on Fox. He was doing an interview with Harris Faulkner, and he said the president is right to want to see a bill go through that will extend the tax cuts. He says that's completely something that Republicans should deliver on. He also says that we should deliver on border funding. He also says that we also need to help Tom Homan. The question is, and I'm reading here from the quote, the question is whether the Senate is going to deliver on the spending restraint that's necessary to deal with the inflation tax that is crippling the average American. We talk about the tax increases that would occur if we don't deliver. That is correct. We've got to deliver. But if we don't deliver on spending restraint, the bond markets are going to crater, inflation will continue, interest rates go up, and houses will be less affordable. He says, I believe the Senate is massively watering down what we did to deliver for the president on the new green scam. The green new scam. He says, this is the Senate doing swamp things. We will see how this plays out. They can't lose too many folks in the House of Representatives or it's going to go south for the president. But again, a lot of folks are wondering why didn't we just do something very, very simple? It didn't have to be nearly 1,000 pages, and we could have just done a bill that would have extended the tax cuts, and that would have been it. I guarantee you this would have gotten every single Republican vote, and we would have been able to move on to the other big issues of the day. And again, this was part of the White House strategy, is put all of this into one giant, huge bill. But the problem is that bill has now been gutted. And it's angering so many people that don't need to be angry. That's the problem here. So we'll see how this plays out. The House will get the bill tomorrow, and that's when all the fireworks will begin. And, of course, we'll be on top of all of this. You know, the challenge I have here, ladies and gentlemen, is that there are good people on both sides. There are no wrong people here. The people opposing President Trump are not in the wrong. Okay, they are absolutely right with their objections. Now, the issue here is if we don't preserve these tax cuts, everybody's getting screwed. So a lot of people feel like they've got a gun to their heads, they're being blackmailed, and they've got to shove through this gutted Senate package or else we're all doomed. And I get it. I mean, they're not wrong about that. But the reality is, I mean, that's the reality here. Oh, by the way, President Trump and DeSantis asked to weigh in on MTG's plan to only count American citizens in the U.S. Census. Cut number four, please.
How many Americans with proof of citizenship are in our area, in our country, redistricting some of the House districts? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll speak for both of us. We love it. Okay, you're going to like this one. I know all about it. We want to bring our elections back. The election in 2020 was rigged, millions and millions of votes. It had to do with COVID and a lot of things, but it really had to do with the crooked people. The Democrats are very good at cheating in elections. And that's why I said too big to rig. They tried this one, too. But after about 9:02, they gave up too many votes, you know, too big to rig. Ron would love it. I would love it. Christy would love it. That's what they have to do. They have to bring it back. And we have to look. You know, Ron, they include anybody that happens to be in your state.
Well, California would lose like five seats if they did a fair census. And even beyond that, the Biden census gypped Florida of at least one seat. We only got one seat in the last census. Are you trying to tell me that Florida only had one seat in that? We should have had at least two. Texas should have had another one. That could be the difference in the House of Representatives and the majority. So I would love for them to redo the census for 26. My legislature will redistrict those lines. We'll get it to where it's fair. But as it's right now, this country is not fairly apportioned. I've got so many more millions of people in Florida that have representation because of that flawed census.
Yeah, look, this is really nice to see. President Trump, Ron DeSantis, we had some other audio we can't play, But those two are making very, very nice right now. It's good to see. I'm happy that fences are being mended. But, you know, back to the census, that's the only reason why the Democrats actually wanted the illegals here, to skew those census numbers. And Trump is absolutely right. So is DeSantis, that if all of the illegals are not counted in the census, you're talking about New York, you're talking about California, and those two states are going to lose big time. Republicans will gain seats in the Congress. This is a massive thing that President Trump is doing. Hear me on this. And I know our time is quickly expiring, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow. But hear me on this one thing. If we only resolve the illegal immigration issue in this country, we solve so many other problems. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. All right. Don't forget, folks, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Be sure to go check that out. We will see you on the TV. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Get out there. Be good. You be safe, America.